Young students don't always have it easy, juggling their course workload and exams, balancing their jobs and personal lives to work with their uni schedule. Some students will even crack under the pressure and need a little support to get them through the rough patch. Jack Padley spoke to Simon Dodd, Senior Clinical Advisor at Headspace, to ask about the challenges for young people in maintaining good mental health.
Are young people today better or worse off from suffering from mental health than those from 30 years ago?
Well, Jack, this is a difficult question to answer, and it's one that people have been really trying to understand for quite a while. There's two possible answers here, which is that, yes, they are worse off than they were 30 years ago in terms of their psychological distress, or maybe it's more acceptable for them to talk about mental health difficulties than it was 30 years ago. So the correct answer is probably somewhere in between those two answers, that perhaps there is more stresses in people's lives. And we've got some research that actually supports that. Particularly young people have described about one in three young Australians, and that when we're talking about young Australians, we're talking about young people between the ages of 12 and 25, are about one in three young Australians are reporting high or very high levels of psychological distress. That is research from last year, and when the last time that sort of research was done was about 2007, and it's about three times higher than the same results at that time. So objectively, if it is measured, yes, you can say young people are describing higher levels of distress now than they did in the past. The second part of the answer really is most difficulties from a mental health point of view from young people occur for the first time before the age of 25. That's about 75% of all mental health disorders occur for the first time before the age of 25. So a lot's happening in young people's lives, and there's a higher level of distress than there we've seen in the past. So whether it's 30 years ago or 50 years ago or 5 years ago, that's a difficult question to answer.
So Oregon is setting up a new law to allow students to take mental health days off from studying. How much would you say Australia would need a law to support declining mental health like this?
I really couldn't speak for America. But what I do think it's interesting is that they're taking mental health seriously, which is a good thing. So we know that connecting with people and spending time with friends and families can increase people's well-being and is a protective factor. Having a responsible adult to talk to for younger students and good peers who have a good understanding of well-being and health is a good thing for older students. And having those connections and ability to communicate with peers is a great thing, and it's also protective. So encouraging young people to look after themselves is a good thing. And that sounds like what they're trying to do for those students in that case. So self-care is really important, particularly when there's lots of pressures in a person's life. So when students around this time of year and next month, there'll be quite a lot of exams coming up. So looking after yourself, sleep, appetite, or nutrition and exercise, as well as connecting with family and friends and having a good capacity to communicate with friends properly they're all useful ways to keep on top of difficulties in our lives.
What are roughly the rates of psychological distress with mental illness in young people?
About one in three young Australians are reporting high to very high levels of psychological distress. And the last time these studies were done was around 2007, and that was about one in 10 young people. So they've increased quite a lot in that period of time, in those 11 years since that was last looked at. So particularly young women, the rates are around 38% when you compare that to young men, which is 26%, but both of them are higher than they used to be. So in about 18 to 21-year-olds range, which is probably your early university students, about 38% of those young people were describing high levels of distress. So it's, high levels of distress are a good indicator of potential future difficulties if they're not addressed.
You just said now the rates are going up. Before it was about 1 in 10 and now it's 1 in 3. Do you expect that these figures will project even more as the future goes on?
I don't know, but it's certainly, they're concerning numbers, aren't they? And so they certainly should be addressed. So the specific numbers are the 1 in 3 is about 32% and the 1 in 10 is actually 9%. So, it's a significant increase using the same tools with the same populations to find that. In only a short time, just over 10 years. So that's a big change in a short period of time. I don't know whether we can extrapolate from that as a projection, but we don't need to project forward to be concerned. We should be concerned now.
Who would you expect would be more at risk, a young person leaving high school for a tertiary study or those who are immediately leaving high school to join the workforce?
I don't have have an answer to that. But what I mean, in terms of the specific question you're asking, but we do know that transition periods can be really challenging times for young people. So whether it's going to university or TAFE or any tertiary study or going into the workforce or a combination, which is what a lot of people do. So that's a difficult time. And so understanding that is a difficult time means that people should, apart from all their other skills that they're learning, they're leaving home, they need to also know how to look after themselves in terms of self-care and making sure that they're doing okay. So it's important at that time to know that when leaving or when moving out of home or changing roles in home to a more closer to the person's adult role, that they look after themselves and practice self-care.
In regards to warning signs, what should a friend or family member look for?
Well, that's a great question. So being aware of when something changes in the person, so something's not right, and usually the people closest to a person are the best people to see that. But say, for example, they stop enjoying or wanting to do the things that they've enjoyed previously in the past, or if sleep or appetite change significantly, or being irritated, or impacts on performance in terms of their schooling or work or study, perhaps becoming separated from and not wanting to spend time with family and friends when they previously did. So if these happen over a period of time, and it's not one warning sign, but it's a combination of these things. If these things are happening combined, then over a period of time, and so if you want a period of time, a couple of weeks, then it's definitely it's worthwhile checking in with them. You probably would do that beforehand and earlier, but it's definitely worth checking in and following up, making sure things are going okay, because it sounds like they're not going okay.
So what can we all do together to help improve or maintain the mental health situation in Australia?
Well, so across the whole community, I think, talking about mental health and mental ill health are really important, how to stay well and what to do if things aren't going so well, like you're doing now. I think they're important things to do. I think encouraging people to look after themselves, and that it's okay to look after themselves and to build their resilience to manage the inevitable stresses in life, is a good thing. People can get access to resources from our website, and lots of good websites around mental health these days. But our website, headspace.org.au, there's a whole lot of resources there about not only about how to get help, but also how to stay well. We've got 110 Headspace sites across Australia, and it's in a lot of locations all over, including regional rural areas, and those centres support a range of activities, but particularly four core areas that they work in. So mental health, physical and sexual health, alcohol and other drug work, and also helping with vocational education work. So people don't realise that the centres have these four focuses, and that all centres can provide support across those areas. But mental health is the one that most people are looking for help with.
Specifically, what does Headspace offer young people in need of help that people should be more aware of?
Well, we've got a number of programs. Our centres, sites have the four core areas of mental health, sexual and physical health, alcohol and other drug work, and vocational health, vocational and educational work. So those four areas are really important to young people. That's why we work in those four areas. And the centre will have clinical staff, including general practitioners, psychologists, social workers, occupational therapists, mental health nurses, as well as alcohol and other drug workers, vocational specialists, including educational specialists as well, in order to support young people. We also have our online program called eHeadspace, which is an online platform, and young people can contact and get onto this website through our website. And there's clinical staff available in eHeadspace to help young people work through whatever issues that they would like to talk to. And that's anonymous if they want it, or they can set up an account and have ongoing contact with the eHeadspace staff around mental health issues or any of the other issues as well. So they're the main clinical focuses that we offer across Australia.
Simon Dodd, Senior Clinical Advisor of Headspace, speaking with Pack Lunch's Jack Padley. Mental health issues such as depression are serious. If you ever feel in need of support, contact Headspace at one of their centres or online at headspace.org.au. You can also reach out to Beyond Blue on 1300 22 4636 or talk to a family member or close friend.